The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's day one of the William Hill Ergo Cup Festival on Thursday. We also have Pontefract and Yarmouth alongside that in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Plenty to look forward to on Thursday in the coming days, Mick. But just a quick chat about a bit of news before we move on. I know the architecture's changed quite a lot in the last few days. Mm. We knew that See the Moon wasn't going to go to the race. It turns out the injury must have been pretty significant because he's been retired as well.
Yeah, that's bad news, isn't it? He was a very exciting horse, and the Ark will be poorer without him, sadly.
Yeah. I mean, the way he won the German Derby, we probably still haven't seen the best of him. We never will know.
Absolutely exceptional performance, and something just didn't look right, did it, with that performance in Germany the other day.
Okay, so we wish him a happy retirement.
Yep.
Staying with the picture of the Arc, Mick, Avenir Certain and Hector are and Tegruda 6-1 co-favourites of 3, and Benoit's got a pretty. Good position for himself, hasn't he? He can ride either of two of the...
He looks such an exciting horse, didn't he? Hector, the way he won the Prenial the other day. And it's going to be hard to get off the filly, though, isn't it? Avenir Certain. I mean, she's made his name in France.
Yeah.
She's still going forward. I think she'll stay a mile and a half. And with the record three-year-old fillies have got in the race,
yeah,
I think that Benoit will stay with her. And it could leave the way for Frankie to take the mount on Hector, which would be great for him.
Yeah, it would be good news for him, considering what happened to him last week, losing the ride on Trave, and it wasn't a good day for him, really. But
it wasn't, but then he bounced back on Rule of the World, didn't he, which was great. So, mixed. But, he's part of the team there, isn't he? And he'll sort of fit in with the plans of whatever they want. Mm-hmm. I think it's very difficult for these owners who've got their jockeys rather than the stable jockey, and it can't be easy. I'm sure that there are horses that John Gosden would prefer Buick on rather than Doyle of Khalid Abdullah's, but that's how it works, let's hope it all sort of settles down and the right men got on the right horses and we have a right horse race.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Who would you side with at the moment, Mick?
Well, when all this was going on, I thought the market was absolutely bonkers. You know, we had sources like Australia and stuff at the top of the market. Well, they were never going to go that route anyway.
No.
And so I judged a couple of the Japanese horses, and I'm quite happy. Harp Star and the other one, and I'm quite happy with their chance. Just a bit concerned that they've got Japanese jockeys on rather than European jockeys. But they're familiarising themselves with the track, and I mean, they're high class jockeys in Japan, but it's just a different tempo of races. And mind that, like races like the Japan Cup and stuff are such rough and ready affairs, they won't sort of be intimidated. But I would just, which way do you look at it? The man know the horse, or the man know the track? I mean, I suppose if the horse is good enough, they should be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how it changes in the next few weeks, because it's all up in the air.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, Tegruda has got a bounce back from that defeat, but I think the King George left its mark on her. Nothing that's running the King George has won yet, Mark. They've all looked laboured, haven't they? Muckadram twice.
Yeah.
It's left its mark on him without a shadow of a doubt.
Mm.
Eagle Topper was just in behind him. We've never seen him yet since. He was very low after the race, apparently.
Right.
It was a brutal race.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And it's not a great trial for the Ark anyway, is it? So I'm not sure. I don't know. It's all to play for, isn't it?
It is.
A lot of water to flow under the under the bridge before the lineup. But what will it be? About 3 weeks this Sunday or 2 weeks this Sunday?
Might be 2 weeks this
Sunday.
Yeah,
could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. Okay, a bit of news elsewhere. Good news for Ascot. Their jumps fixtures will be worth around £2 million in prize money next season, which is great news, isn't it?
Well, I do. I mean, to be fair to Ascot, they always have done. Ever since they brought in the jumps track, they've always kept it high class. And it's great that they really are sort of not using Ascot's jumping arm as a poor relation. They really are, you know, setting their stall out to make it high class stuff, and fair play to them. I think it's great, and I think it's a good jumping track as well, Ascot.
Yeah.
I think it's made up in a really good jumping track. Trainers don't seem to embrace it so much, but I think it's a very good track and very good horses win there, don't they?
They do. I mean, they've got some big races as well. I mean, the likes of the Long Walk Hurdle and so on, big trials for the World Hurdle.
Clarence House.
Yeah, Clarence. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, good.
So some, yeah, really, it's good. I just hope they get the runners they deserve. You know, that Reynolds Town that used to be, they never got runners for that. So they boosted the prize money. Let's hope the trainers support it. They want a bit of jumping, Ascot. You see, a lot of these tracks have got dandy brush fences, and it encourages bad horses to get away with it. Ascot fences want a bit of jumping. I think that's why a few trainers back away from it, but they didn't ought to, because when they all turn up at Cheltenham, they've got to jump around there, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're good enough to jump around,
exactly.
Cheltenham, you should be good enough to jump around.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Okay. And finally, Mick, just anything else in the news that's caught your eye?
Just sad to see that poor old Ollie Birdie's died. I mean, he was a great character, wasn't he? And never a dull moment when Oliver was around, especially when he had a winner. And well, he's continued being ill for quite a long time. I mean, he did well to get to 75, and he was a good trainer, a good horse as well, and great man for his charitable foundation. And he'll be sadly missed in Ireland. Characters like him don't just grow on trees, do they?
No, he'll be missed in the crowd, won't he, when you see him entertaining the crowds over there.
Yeah, and he was a bit outspoken, but that was all part of his charm, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, they've lost a great man.
Yeah. The big race this weekend, Mick, we're going to look at the first day of the Air Gold Cup. Still got to find out the draw as we record this, but do you have an opinion on the Air Gold Cup?
Not really. I want to have a look at the first couple of days and just have another look at it. I mean, as ever, these races are changing. You know, like biggish weights, 9, 7, 9, 8 used to be killer weights, but now the whole game's changed around, hasn't it? And you know, these weights, the big weights, are regularly carried now to victory in handicaps that used to be absolute no-nos. So you know, you've really got to take the horses, the class acts at the top of the handicap seriously. And well, I don't know, is Athenian ahead of the handicapper? He's got the £5 penalty on his day. He certainly looks that way. And you've got horses like Alban Starr. I think they'll want a bit of rain for him, won't they?
Yeah.
And I noticed Jack Gavity's already booked to take that £5 off his big weight of 9 stone 9. Kevin Ryan's booked Pat Smullen to ride Hamza, another one towards the top of the handicap. Richard Hannon's put his smart apprentice Cam Hardy on to take the 5 off Ninjago. It's going to be a really good race, and it's going to be very, very hard to win. And as they all are, the silver, the gold, silver and bronze are all impossible, aren't they?
Yes. There's easier tasks than winning them. And
just a bit.
That's what makes the winners so good. We'll find out what happens there on Saturday, but before we get to that, we've got the start of the festival on Thursday, and we'll get Mick's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, day one of the William Hill Air Gold Cup Festival, and Mick's first race is the 3:10, and this is the Hill House Quarry supporting the Ayrshire Hospice Handicap, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile for 3-year-olds and older. 14 of them in the lineup, Mick. It's going to be 5 to on the field, I imagine, here. So a nice tricky start to the meeting for you.
Absolutely, let's hope so. I was really impressed with the run of Alma Heat Red Car last time. He's Brian Ellison hasn't had him all that long. He used to be trained by Sir Michael Stout. Midland Park picked him up, sent him to Brian Ellison. Only his fifth start for Brian Ellison, and it looks as though his astute handler is getting to grips with him on the back of that red car performance. A repeat of that off the same mark with the same rider on board. That's the excellent Megan Carberry taking off five. That would probably see him home. I think Brian might have found the key to this one. Anderiego represents David O'Mara, Danny Tudhope. He's been in good form. Still £4 higher than his win at York in July. But two good efforts, not beaten far this mark the last twice. And sure to be involved in the finish, Anderiego. Another two to consider down the bottom of the of the weights. I say that's a compressed handicap. There's only £8 between top and bottom. Yeah. Argaki, Keith Dalglish, he's got a lot of runners at the Western meeting. He's got two in this, including Hanalei Bay. Makin's deserted Argaki, who he rode last time, to stay with Hanalei Bay. But I think Argaki might turn out the better of the pair. He's already a winner here at Ayr. £3 higher than finishing second at Calab. But that's fair enough when you see what Chinese Jade went on and did next time. And Declan McDonough has been booked to ride. So Argaki has got to go on the shortlist. As has a three-year-old, Im Shavala, Tony Hamilton riding for Richard Fahey. £6 higher than for the hat-trick win, but the ground was to blame last time, not the new mark, and definitely not discounted. The weight for age, not substantial over the mile, but this is such a tough handicap that every pound's going to count. And Im Shavala, she does get the £4 weight for age. So they're my four against the field: Anderiego, Almuheat, Argaki, and Im Shavala. And I'm just giving the vote to Almuheat.
Okay, Almuheat then the selection in the 310. Moving on to the 440 next, which is the William Hill handicap for the Kilkerran Cup. It's a class 2 handicap over a mile and a quarter for 3-year-olds and older, and we've got a couple of them coming into this in pretty good nick, Mick. No more so than Misty Rock and Ingleby Symphony both chasing the hat-trick.
Well, I think, yeah, I think Ingleby Symphony's chance hinges on the weather. It's going to have to rain for her, I think, because this is very tough. You wouldn't know what to expect from this Misty Rock, would you? And he won what looked like a Mickey Mouse Hamilton maiden. Didn't exactly get a gimme mark, but went to Haydock off of that handicap debut mark and swooped late, still looking greenish. Well, he would be. It was only his third start, I should say. And although he's gone up to 90 now, £8 for that Haydock win, he's certainly going to make a bold bid here. And he gets the weight for age he did at Haydock, which helped him to last home. £6 it is for the weight for age. And who knows what the limit of his improvement's going to, where it's going to stop. It's hard to get away from, really, isn't he, Misty Rock? As you said, Ingleby Symphony is in the form of her life at the moment. If the rain comes, she's going to be very, very hard to beat on the hat trick. Pressburg's interesting. Shane Gray's been booked to ride by Jonathan Tweed. A big class dropper here from Group 3 into Class 2. And a good claimer booked to take off 5. £5 higher than the last time, but wasn't beaten far off a pound higher mark at Ascot a couple of outings ago, and very much respected as a big class dropper. And the other one to consider is Firefighting, another three-year-old. Takes on his elders for the first time, which is interesting here. Mark Johnson loves winners at the Western meeting, and there's every chance that he can exploit this £6 weight for age. He's got an admirable attitude, this horse. The penalty makes life tougher, and this is a harder race. It was a Mickey Mouse. He won at Bath last time. But he has got a wonderful attitude, and he's certainly not to be discounted. Again, a tough four against the field. Pressburg, Firefighting, Ingleby Symphony, Misty Rock. If the rains come, it'd be hard to shelve Ingleby Symphony. But if it stays as it is, I just don't know where Misty Rock's improvement's going to end up. So I'm going to have to stay with that one. Tough call, though.
Yeah, Misty Rock then just about in the 440 at Ayr, and moving on to the 510, which is the final race we're going to look at. This is a class 5 handicap over a mile and 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 16 of them in the lineup for this, so another competitive race. And we'll start here, Mick, with Always Resolute if we can. Sprung a bit of a surprise last time, winning at 50-1 and winning fairly comfortably at Haydock in the end.
Yeah, that was an 11 runner Haydock handicap over a mile and a quarter. As you say, it wasn't stopping, it was only its third start of the season. And went up £7 for that, but they've booked Joey Haynes to take off 3 of it. Going up in trip again, wasn't stopping at the end of the Haydock race, but up another 3 furlongs, and certainly not a gimme on pedigree. That would worry me.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's... Yeah.
It's only its 7th career start, though, and yeah, there was a lot to like about the win. So, but it's on the shortlist, Always Resolute, Mark. But races like this, you don't want big question marks over your stamina.
No,
do you?
You want something more solid, don't you? Because that was a little bit out of nowhere as well, if you look at his form before that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's why I'm going to give the vote to Bianca Kesiga, a daughter of Aussie Rules. She's won over this trip. She won at Chester 2 outings ago. And then... That was a really good run at Haydock last time, over a mile and 3/4 behind William of Orange, who was a very much an exposed horse. And that was off a pound higher mile. Handicappers actually gave her a pound back for running up against William of Orange. And Jack Garrity's 5 is going to help. So she's back technically into the 60s here. And I think she's the one to beat with her stamina proven. She's in great form. I love fillies in form, and Fahey's horses continue to thrive. Another one we should mention is Jim Goldie, who's got a big team of runners going to the meeting. He runs Testarossa here for local owner Stuart Morrison. Graham Lee taking the ride. Still relatively unexposed over middle distances. Did most of his racing early in his career, up to a mile 9 furlongs. But has actually, for me, improved since stepping up to a mile and a half the last twice. Going up another furlong here, which well worth a try. And off a mark of 62. He hasn't got much to find to make them all go. Tough call again, but I'm just going with the proven stamina of Bianca Seger, with the excellent Jack Garrity's taking off the £5 that swayed me towards her.
Okay, yeah, very tricky start to the meeting.
Very much so, yeah, very much so.
Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Mick.
Yes, the 3:10, let's hope Brian Ellison can get us off to a winning start with Alma Heat and Megan Carberry on board. In the 4:40, the William Hill Handicap for the Kilcarran Cup. I won this a few years ago. Misty Rock for Jim Goldie and Fergal Lynch going forward at a rate of knots. And who knows where his improvement will end. Although if it does come up a bog, Ingleby Symphony will take some beating there. Just keep an eye on the weather. And in the 5:10, the final race on the first day of the Air Western meeting, the proven stamina of Bianca Seger, the £5 claim of Jack Garrity, and the form of this 4-year-old filly has swayed me towards her.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sure I will, Mark. I always enjoy the Western meeting, and this looks like being an absolute cracker.
Yeah, good stuff. And Mick will be in the studio. He'll be joined by Chris Pimlott and Gareth Topham. They'll be live from 1:30 p.m. We have day one of the William Hill Air Gold Cup meeting, and there's also Pontefract and Yarmouth in the afternoon and Kempton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.